Welcome to the Gamer's Haven Podcast, a gaming podcast for game masters of all gaming systems. So grab your dice bags and we'll get your game on. But welcome back to the Gamer's Haven Podcast. I don't know what episode this is because I think this would be episode maybe 9 or 10. I don't know.
We should just say 12.
950.
1 million lira.
1 million lira. Episode 1 million lira.
Or 15.
Or 15.
Yeah. I didn't think we changed to lira.
No, we're still using Quatloos.
The IRS still hasn't come after us yet. But I don't think they even notice we're around.
Not yet.
There might be a reward for that, though. Let me go call somebody real quick.
Bad monkey. No banana. I did want to mention some other news I heard, actually. It's kind of interesting. As soon as I find it where I wrote it down, because I'm stupid, RPG Now and DriveThruRPG joining. You heard about that? The merging?
Yeah, to make one nice big place for PDFs.
One company to rule them all. The big problem with it, a lot of people are having, though, is they're raising their prices.
Oh,
to full price?
I don't know how much, but they're raising their prices because of it.
Crap on a hat.
I liked RPG Now. It was so inexpensive.
And I would have to say that's my only problem with it, too, because that kind of sucks.
I mean, there'll be more stuff. But
yeah, it's all going to be one site. I think onebookshelf.com is what it's going to be. They don't have it yet, but they don't have it up yet.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. I don't like the raising of the price, but it's nice that you can get everything in one place now.
Yeah.
PDFs are nice. I mean, I like the physical book, but PDFs, I mean, they're useful. Mm-hmm.
They're useful for various things. Other thing was, Big Eyes, Small Mouth got picked up by Art House Publishing, which is affiliated with White Wolf.
Wow.
They're going to publish a new edition, and I don't know if that means they're going to continue publishing everything or to start doing new stuff, but I know Art House just recently lost the Ravenloft license, so I don't know what they've been up to since then.
Well, congratulations to them for picking up Big Eyes, Small Mouth.
They did a good job on the Ravenloft book, so it'd be interesting to see what White Wolf decides to do with BESM.
That's why it was taken away, because it was doing so well.
Yeah, and suddenly Wizards of the Coast wanted to
Coast just put out Return to Castle Ravenloft, Expedition Castle Ravenloft.
It's supposed to be pretty good, actually.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I might pick it up to look at it.
But for me, that doesn't really say much since it's
the big
Ravenloft
discussion
for the Ravenloft setting.
The big discussion with WotC right now, though, is what are they going to do next? Because, obviously, I mean, where can they go with the books they've put out? Because they've already done now the complete Arcane and the complete mage. What are they going to do next? Complete divine and now complete cleric, probably?
The complete plumber.
But, of course, the big fear is them working towards 4.0.
Oh, God.
Just what we need to pay another $40 a book for 3 books that we have to have and run a system that we...
No, I think we have enough D&D 3.5 books to run that just
last
fine.
Last us forever.
If there's enough D20 3.0 and 3.5 books out there to, I don't know, build a city.
It took me long enough to get everything updated to 3.0. Now I'm still updating to 3.5. I refuse to go into 4.0 or 4.1.
Well, how long did it take them to put out 3.0 from advanced? What, 10, 15 years?
Yeah. 15 years.
I think if they are creative, they can come up with new stuff.
Yes.
But just
on the pipeline right now, there's nothing that's just standing out except for the magic item compendium coming out,
which would be nice,
which is just going to be handy.
And actually,
so I'll pick
a feats one would be nice.
And they said that if the magic item compendium sells well, they'll do a feats book.
Cool.
So
need that.
Buy that book, and so you can buy the magic item compendium when it comes out next year, just so you can get
the feat compendium.
Of course, I say next year, and by the time you're listening to this, it might actually be this year.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be 2007.
Because if you've purchased the other feat book by
Mongoose.
Oh,
Crap Goose Publishing.
It has a couple of useful feats in there, but the rest of it, horrible.
Other crap.
Mongoose Publishing, where one book in 100 is any good.
Yeah. Which is sad, because they did Paranoia, didn't they? Paranoia XP.
Yeah, Paranoia XP is a great book. Awesome, that's their 1 in 100 right there.
Of course, then there's the 5,000 other side shoot books for Paranoia XP that were launched within 6 months of the book being released.
Yeah.
I really don't see what WotC could do
in
4.0.
Because we don't need any new magic systems.
No. We don't need a revised combat system. They've already pushed us so hard into the miniature combat.
In the miniatures,
combat.
Yeah, in the tactical miniatures combat.
I guess they could just, I don't know.
The only reason I think that they would go to a 4.0 is if Hasbro pushes them to it.
But what would they do? That's my question.
Yeah,
nothing.
I don't know what they would revise some of the classes.
It'd be 3.5 revised.
They might rip off Dice a True 20.
That would just annoy me.
That would be kind of silly because then the entire license would change and people would have to re-revise every book.
They did it with 3.0 and 3.5.
Yeah, that's true.
So a lot of people are blaming WotC for it, but I actually think it's more of a Hasbro thing.
Probably Hasbro.
Well, with the 3.0 to 3.5, that was necessary because there was some.
Well, yeah, Hasbro has good stuff, but Hasbro has never been hugely happy with the D&D line because it doesn't sell like Monopoly.
Hasbro does seem like a big evil corporation, but you know.
Yeah, and we're an independent podcast. Isn't that great?
Yeah, we can say everyone.
I love the First Amendment. It's just so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll take free Hasbro stuff if you're
If Hasbro's listening to us.
Hey.
You need but if Hasbro's listening, they can send us free stuff and we'll pimp them out as much as possible.
Yeah. We sell pretty easily.
But if you send us crap, we're going to tell you that it's crap. Will. Just FYI. Really.
Only send us good
stuff. I'll feed it to my dog.
He'll eat anything.
Yeah, he will.
So will man.
He's a beast.
So we're going to talk about fantasy games.
Fantasy! And not the bad type of fantasy there, Jeremy. So,
Are
you wearing the edible underwear again?
No, that was my clone.
Oh.
I killed him.
We fed into the Mansquito. The Paul.
But that was bad, because that clone was not right. He was unripe.
Yeah, when he showed up wearing the edible, that was just not cool.
Yeah.
Wonder if they were...
If you hadn't held me back, I would have clubbed his head in with the leg of the chair.
That's
that
why you don't.
I didn't want to get too close because he could have been infected.
That's why you don't clone yourself.
I wanted to brain him.
Still working on the plane shifting device. I think we should do a podcast from the elemental plane of water.
By the way, why did you release those aberrations that you made into the mechanics office where I was working on the time machine?
Because it was fun?
I think he did it because you were working on the time machine again.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Bastard.
But that's okay. I've got something else we can dump our trash in.
Cool.
It's a portable hole.
Oh.
I'm not really sure where it goes.
Yeah, not my problem.
As long as I don't throw them back.
Yeah.
Maybe it goes to the Hasbro.
Does it fill up ever?
No.
No, oh, that's great then. You get a couple of those. That's great. You know, you never use those in D&D games like that. That just, you know, cities would just set up portable holes then.
Oh, yeah. Portable holes, disintegration, all sorts of stuff. It's going to suck if you drop your ring in there or dig around in there.
Or someone shoves you in.
Yeah.
Omelette eggs, you know.
Yeah.
The wizard could have it set up as his toilet, basically.
Actually, in a very, very... This is a quick side note. Kind of a goofy game. It was a D&D game. There was this mage that just pissed us off. We couldn't defeat him, but we could break into his home at any time. Super powerful in the destructive, not very good in the whole, you know, protecting his household. So we paid this mage to create a teleportation for our toilet and trash deposit. And we were able to sneak the device into his bedroom.
Under his bed.
Above his bed.
Uh-huh.
The device was under his bed, but...
The stuff appeared above the bed. And the GM thought it was so funny, and we were able to sneak in. Nope. The greatest thing is nobody died when we snuck in either.
Yeah.
We were able to go in because we were thieves and come back out. And the GM described the scene to us as the guy laid down to go to bed and suddenly all this trash and stuff just kept pouring out constantly. We tried hooking up with a city trash, but we didn't have the money for that, so we just kept it in our own individual one.
We were throwing everything.
We could never defeat him, but. It made his life miserable.
It kept catching freaking delayed fireballs on us.
Yeah. Couldn't ever sleep in that bedroom again, though.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you pissed that wizard off good.
We'd already pissed him off before that. We had like a bounty. There was like a bounty on his head, and no one could collect on it, and we caused it. He wanted us dead so bad he kept sending bounty
hunters. And luckily, the game ended before he came after us for it, And then the GM went on to say that it was so funny that we just lived happily ever after. So, like, okay.
That's frightening.
How brutal. Okay. Okay. We ended up ruling our own country. In the
yeah.
Well, we're going to be right back after this this fine message from one of our fellow podcasts. And we'll be back soon.
I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
Oh my god, I just found a CGC 9.8 grade ashcan edition of Mutant Warrior Babes from the Planet Zargon number 1 with a chromium cover signed by the inker. I'm gonna bid right now.
Stop right there, citizen.
Oh my gosh, it's Night Ranger and Working Man from the Inner Circle.
Before you foolishly squander your allowance, check out the Fistful of Comics podcast.
Fistful of Comics podcast? What's that?
It's a weekly podcast covering comics, games, movies, RPGs, and other geeky goodness.
And where can I find this at?
www.fistfulofcomics.com.
Well, now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What's the other half?
Yes, Destiny has her hand on my back, and she's pushing.
Well, we're back, and on the discussion today, we are talking about fantasy, the fantasy genre, fantasy gaming, probably the biggest genre in all of existence, I would say.
For role-playing, yes.
For role-playing, well, yes. They really don't do very good movies that with fantasy.
Yeah, most of the movies are pretty...
Well, they're so hokey.
Yeah. I think the problem is that a lot of them, if they find it very difficult to get an actual budget... That will allow them
a
to
budget
do it
that allows it. It was the problem with comic book movies for the longest time is they just no budget, and they just look corny. Yeah,
well, X-Men was the first.
Actually, no, Blade was.
I don't know. I have a feeling that they kind of have to be somewhat hokey because magic in reality probably wouldn't be very.
Yeah. Well, no, it's you look at it and Lord of the Rings did it just fine.
They did it well.
They did it very well. They were a bit long, but they did it fine.
Labyrinth.
Labyrinth. I've heard the Narnia Crystal. Movie isn't bad.
Narnia movie's good.
No, it's Lord of the Rings for kids.
Yeah, I still don't.
The books
see it,
are much better.
We've got Aragorn coming out in December, been out probably when you're listening to this.
Very Christian.
Yeah,
I've heard Aragorn's not very good though.
The books are actually pretty fun. The movie, I don't know.
The game sucks. Let me tell you that.
I don't know about the game.
It's obvious that they designed it for the least common denominator platform, which was the PS2. And so even on the computer, it looks terrible.
What bothers me is movies like the first D&D movie, which have, you know, people latch on to that and go, oh, that's the fantasy.
That's not fantasy. That was called crap.
The first D&D movie pissed me off on a few different levels. One, it was a terrible movie. And two, the critic response to it just was offensive.
Yeah,
well, because of the way they basically... attacked it because it was based on D&D, and they attacked the fans of D&D based on the movie, and with quotes like, you know, why are they making, you know, why are they making a movie based on a game no one's played in 20 years? Well, obviously that reporter was an idiot. Or quotes like, based on the board game Dungeons and Dragons? I mean, come on, people.
Yeah.
But
it's sad.
That's a whole other thing to talk about.
We can have a rant for that.
We can have a rant on the media and gaming.
But for fantasy, I mean, high magic, low magic, moderate magic.
Even fantasy is something you can supplant too, because you do historical fantasy, modern fantasy, future fantasy, you know, things like that. It's a versatile thing, and I think all of us here have had a lot of experience running a fantasy campaign. Predominantly using, obviously, D&D. I'm in the process of switching over, and I'm going to start using the True 20 setting, the True 20 system from Green Ronin Publishing, and I'm also using some elements from Arcana Evolved, from Malhavik Press, and Iron Heroes, also from Malhavik Press as well.
There's different styles. There's a high fantasy game, which is probably the one that most people play, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of magic, lots of monsters, lots of sword and swashbuckling and things dying and monsters being killed left and right and people exploding things.
It's the fireballs and wands and all that.
And I think that would be what I would classify as the predominant one, because when you look at like the different worlds, like the Greyhawk world and stuff, that... I guess that's what the basis of D&D set off of, right, is the Greyhawk world?
Greyhawk, yes. It's one of the original settings, yes.
is that it's fairly high fantasy. You have, like, level 30 mages running around that'll, if you piss them off, they'll
kill you. Greyhawk is a little bit different than Forgotten Realms, though. Forgotten Realms, I'd say, is much more high fantasy.
Yeah.
The Greyhawk, I mean, yeah, it has its magic, but it's a lot grittier. I mean, it's a medieval world with magic. I mean,
Forgotten Realms is the one that has what's his name, the Red?
Elminster
the Red.
No, not the Red.
It's Elminster.
It's Elminster. There is.
It's just Elminster. I think he was.
Unfortunately, when it comes down to it, I didn't use a lot of the worlds from D&D, so I'm not very up on a lot of. I just know Forgotten Realms high magic in the sense of wherever you can go, there's going to be a high level power.
Well, I think we should go ahead and say that if you're going to use an established fantasy setting like Dragonlance, Forgotten Realms, Greyhawk, Ravenloft, any of that stuff, that you should make it your own. Don't just go straight out of the books, unless that's really what you want to do, but then you can be really constrained by what you want to do and what you can do. Definitely, use it as more as a guideline, and don't think that whatever's in the novels, if there are novels based on the setting you're using, don't think that the novels are scripture. I'd say go in there, shake it up a bit. Anyway, but if you're using an established setting, I think it's really important to
shake things up.
To not just say, well, it's in this source book, this is happening. Well, not necessarily. You know, do what you want. It is your game. You know, use the setting as more of a backdrop. Don't go, okay, well, in Neverwinter Nights, the game, this happens, so this has got to happen in you know, what's all this? And I think that's just something you need to think about.
You don't want the high-level NPC from these worlds to take over the game. You want your PCs to be... They don't have to be the massive heroes that save the world, but they do need to be the focal point. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
You can have the... I mean, if you have an Elminster-type character... I mean, personally, there's nothing wrong with that type of... As long as they're there either to assist or cause problems,
Chimera. Chimera helps when there's no other way you guys can actually solve the issue. Like with the army. There was no way you guys could have dealt with the army.
No.
You know, it was there. You guys weren't getting rid of it. So you called in artillery support from...
We called it an airstrike.
Yeah, and she basically roasted and spat acid and
scared the heck out of them and made them run away.
Whole army.
Yeah, hey, it worked.
Made them break up. And then the other army, which was like half the size, managed to go in and wipe up the stragglers because the army split into so many small groups that allowed them to take them out much easier.
I think in a fantasy campaign, we mentioned this in the original genres podcast, that with a fantasy campaign, I think many more people feel much more free to do whatever they want and a lot less constrained because they have that added thing of, well, there's magic, it's a fantasy setting, you know, there are dragons and orcs and goblins and owlbears, oh my. And, you know, to an extent, I think that's true, but it's interesting how people aren't game masters like ourselves, actually will approach a fantasy game. It's different how we would approach a, you know, say a vampire game or a werewolf game or a cyberpunk game or anything like that.
Yeah, there's a lot more sense of realism in the environment.
See, unlike other genres, I think a lot of people actually have their own, their own campaign world, their own setting that they may have developed, one that they use, whether it's Forgotten Realms, Dragonlance, or if it's a homebrew setting. A lot more people have that for fantasy rather than they do for a modern campaign or for a campaign with, you know, superheroes or you know, supernatural elements or anything like that. It happens, but predominantly I think most people have a fantasy setting they use all the time.
Yeah.
You guys have your own settings, I have mine, and it's something like if we played, set something into modern, a lot of people are going to think, okay, well, it's modern day. Look outside, that's what it's like.
Yeah, and that's not necessarily always true. Like, I recall Jeremy's World of Darkness game, which was set where we used to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lawrence, right.
Yeah. And how he just took everything and turned it up on its ear, like destroying Ottawa completely. That was funny. Ottawa was like a festering black hole. It got it like had an airplane full of toxic waste fall on it and crash or something.
No, it was
Baldwin.
Baldwin.
It was Baldwin.
That's where they built the after it got destroyed. They built the insane asylum.
Yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm.
But it's an interesting thing. Some game companies will actually try to shake that up here and there, but in a fantasy campaign,
there's nothing to shake up.
Nothing to shake up. It can work two ways. You can have just go straight out. You can go straight out for your fantasy setting, but you can have a predisposition, I would say, or an idea, a starting idea, basing it in, a lot of people base it in, like, European history, which is interesting, I think, because a lot of people do that, no matter what, because even if you say, we're going to play a fantasy game, people are automatically going to think of, King Arthur,
yeah,
Robin Hood, well, things like that.
And you have to define the magic level, because...
Mm-hmm.
You also have to take
into account of how magic is going to affect things. Because think about how medieval history would have been if magic existed.
And that's why you have to define the level, because in some fantasy worlds, anyone can cast a spell just by saying a few words. The players need to know that. But in other fantasy worlds, the normal peasant still doesn't understand the different concepts about magic. He knows that there's priests or holy individuals, and that's beneficial. And there's other types of magic which may be beneficial at the time. And your players need to know that, yes, there's fantastical things, but some things are not. Like, when you walk into that village, they're doing normal village things. They're baking bread. They're building stuff.
Pawing the fields.
Now, every once in a while, though, you may come upon a village that has a magical blacksmith. Or does have a mage down the road.
That's why I'm fairly adverse to having things like magic stores in a fantasy setting, because I think that sort of takes away from the effect. Magic is magic, but again, the argument can be made to say, well, it's a magical setting, you know.
It depends on the area for me.
Right. Like in a big city, it's going to be a different attitude than
in a
country.
If you're in a big city where you have both the technology, the magic, maybe a school... You can have magic stores, because there's so many mages are getting together, so many clerics are getting together.
There's a viable market to sell those materials.
Healing potions is a good example. Healing wands, healing potions. That is such a useful thing. It's just like technology.
Band-aids,
healing salves and all that. I mean, that's beneficial.
Neosporin, stuff like that.
Now, you shouldn't be able to walk into every town, though, and you shouldn't have... that type of thing.
Right. I do find it interesting looking at a lot of the predominant settings that we know of in the media, like, I'm going to go ahead and use Lord of the Rings, I think Lord of the Rings is you could argue that is a low magic setting.
Because
you don't have a lot of wizards running around casting fireballs, and even when Gandalf is running around doing stuff, it's not, hey, fireball. Gandalf is more of a I don't know, big figurehead, really. I mean, he's a symbol more than anything.
And he does do magic, but very little.
It's very subtle magic.
There's nothing flashy about it.
That there's a very strict difference. You have the individuals who are more, not necessarily civilized, but organized in the big cities. They're going to understand to a point the differences between magic. They're going to have more access to magical items. Magical stores could come into existence. But then as you get farther away from those areas of learning and capitals and such, the magic level, per se, kind of gets less. Not that the potential isn't there, but these villages can't afford this, or they don't have the
knowledge. Well, it's because you look at D&D, and we're going to use D&D pretty much as the baseline for this. I don't think we can even try not to do that, because... Well, a friend of mine once said, "Is if you're going to play a fantasy game, why play anything that's not D&D? Because D&D is the fantasy game to play." But anyway, that's getting off the point. With fantasy game, you definitely need to take into effect the magic is so important. D&D, in default, is a high magic setting, in my opinion.
Yeah, because magic is so readily available and apparent.
And I do take your point of the. I think in a big city they're going to react differently to magic than they do in a small podunk town.
And governments are going to take that and use that to their advantage.
But the magic in D&D is expensive.
Oh yeah.
If you actually look at it and read it, it's not cheap.
Oh, it should be expensive.
Yes, I fully agree. And a lot of people don't actually. Mess with that, and I think that's something that GMs should and DMs should look at a lot.
I mean, depending on where you're at, you should mark the price up times two.
Some items.
Mark it up. I mean...
So one thing I don't like about D&D is how formulaic it is on magic item creation and things like that.
If you're in a village with... There may be a magical item.
Mm-hmm.
But that magical item may be worth 10 times.
It might also be sacred to the town.
You might not be able to buy it.
Exactly. It might because be, hey, we all pray to this for our crops every day.
Which is another conversation, but you may walk into a village with, 25,000 gold, however you're carrying that, and say, I would like to buy your magic ring of wishes. And they're going to say, no.
Well, yeah.
We don't want your money. Number two.
Currency is something to look at, too. I mean, because currency is going to work differently out in the country than it is in a city setting.
What good is currency going to do in a country village?
Yeah, you could have go into a city, and they'll be more than happy to take your gold. But if you go way out in the middle of nowhere country, and you pop down a pile of gold, I mean, I would say more than likely they're going to look at you and go, what do you have to trade? Because that's not going to do me any good.
And with the magic...
Do you have any water? Do you have any pigs? I mean trade goods.
Food.
That's how, when you look back at medieval history, that's how a lot of the things went down. It was all barter.
But magic does, it changes those things, and we got to take that into account. When you have a battle, especially big governments are going to use things that you're going to have artillery, catapults, lobbing fireballs. You're going to have griffin riders who have lightning bolt, laser wands, But you're going to have medics carrying around potions of healing, wands of healing. You're going to have all this. And large governments are going to focus, just like technology, thank you, they're going to focus on increasing this because it's important. And yes, I've had arguments with certain individuals that, well, it's going to be kind of like nuclear weapons. You have a mage on one side, you have a mage on another side, they're going to basically equal each other out. Well, to a point, but then you just have a special squad go in there and kill their mage off.
I think magic is a great thing to have in fantasy. Magic's interesting. I think magic, though, can be something that's kind of big to get your head around,
And it should be.
It's something that's it's completely and utterly alien to anything we know.
Exactly.
And it alters the reality of physics.
It should never be mundane for the players.
Whenever you're coming up with a game, with an idea, with a plot line in your D&D game, you always have to consider that magic element because that magic can totally derail your game. Depending if you have someone who knows how to use the spell right, well, that teleport spell can really screw you over.
Then you need to come up with ways to...
The teleport spell is they may know how to use it properly, but if they've never been to that place before...
It's the great GM fiat.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, you cast a spell and nothing happens.
Yeah.
No.
But you got to be careful with that, too, because if you do it too much, the players stop having fun.
You should let them use their teleportation. But remember, NPCs have magic, too. There's spells that track teleportation.
And lock it, too.
I'm going to teleport away from this mage. Okay, you do. You appear in your friendly little village of halflings. You're happy and everything. Oh, wait. Big Igor the Mage just appeared here because he followed you. Now he's killing all your friends.
Yeah. But again, it goes to the magic being a big thing to get your head around.
And also talk to your players, too, because make it clear that your teleportation is going to be really useful.
I don't know about you guys. I don't sit and I can't read through all the spells and all the books and memorize them all.
I'm horrible with that. I'm talking about like the traveling spells.
I'm not effective at using magic as it is.
That's why at low levels it's great, because you guys don't have access to teleportation. It's up to other assistants.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Walking or whatever.
But it's always going to get to that point where, what mage isn't going to take teleportation?
I'm going to take it. Just most intelligent mages will not teleport to some random place they've never been.
Right.
You're going to be able to set up most of the time places that they've been.
Yeah, you do have to take into account, Jeremy pointed out, that NPCs have magic too. And you go to a city, sure they're going to have a city watch, but what's to say they're not going to have
a mage watch or someone
who's going to watch the gates with detect magic all day.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, oh, hey, someone just walked. It's like, peasant. Oh, hey, that guy's glowing like the 4th of July. Follow that one.
Make sure...
Makes sense to me.
Or tax him, right.
They're like, that's magical, and that's magical.
The town guard in these big cities, especially the big cities that have the stores, it's going to, you do not want to commit crimes and fight the town guard, because they're going to have things like anti-magic orbs that they toss at you and stick on you.
Yeah.
And suddenly you can't cast your spells.
That's a good point. You're hosed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
what
a good point.
Fight
think in terms of modern technology and apply it magically. You know, like smoke grenades.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, those exist in D&D. I mean, that those exist just normally in D&D. What are they? The smoke twigs or something like that. But you can get what's to say you can't get a flashbang, but it's a magical device. One shot used, you throw it in, it does the same thing.
Or even weapons that you toss at somebody.
Or the mage wand, or the here's another idea is instead of having the town guard running around with swords, they have their swords, but they also have wands of magic missile or wands of fireball or lightning bolt or something.
As long as you follow the same rules that the players have, in the sense that
in a big city, they're gonna have the money for that, and that's their machine gun.
Or even I always
it's like okay, they're gonna go in. We go in and magic missiles don't miss. Mm-hmm. You open the door, you go in. There's a hostage situation. Hose the guy with magic missiles.
I always love the orb that you toss into a room, and it causes normal damage. It's all subdual damage, mm-hmm. but it's a point or more of damage per spell slot that individual has.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Ouch.
So they toss that in the room.
Uh-huh.
Boom.
Yeah.
So all the mages in the room go.
It doesn't kill them, but they can arrest them.
Oh yeah,
and you're gonna have prisons that protect.
It's something I really want to get across, though, is the think when you're making your fantasy game, think modern. But you know, I mean, what's because magic can duplicate technology's effects. Mm-hmm. I mean, that makes sense. Too many people now think of okay, I'm doing a fantasy game. All right, medieval Europe. That's my mindset. But it wouldn't be medieval Europe because there's magic. You have to understand that.
Yeah, magic adds a whole other layer to it.
And remember, you also need to look at it, is the magic, even if it's widespread, is it still controlled in the sense of only certain individuals can do it?
Yeah.
Is it
Dark Sun had the Templars.
Yeah.
And the Defilers and the Preservers. And
one way to make money is for a mage who knows how to do the magic is to enchant simple items for people to buy.
Yes.
Because he wants the money so he can keep researching.
Then you'd even have the shysters who use the Nistel's Magic Aura thing
exactly.
And so on.
Exactly. And you're not... And it's just...
Don't use magic as your escape, you know? I mean, you know, try to work in other things. You know, thinking away from magic is the arms and armor aspect of it is always appealing to me, too. You're running around in full plate mail with a broadsword. I mean, who doesn't like that?
Yeah, the problem is it's like in your game last week, everyone's like, we need to be quiet. And I look at everybody and I go, I'm wearing full plate. Here's my quiet. Clunk, 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 clunk.
And that's the thing. I mean, basically, in a fantasy world, there is a potential of everybody having some sort of magic. And that doesn't mean everybody has to be spell casters. But if you're going to be an adventurer, you need to have understanding of magic.
Oh, yeah.
To function.
Easily. But if you're a fighter, you need to have an understanding of combat. Now, D&D combat doesn't work well at all, but, I mean, the combat is... It's made for miniatures. It's, you know, 5-foot steps here and there. But there are more realistic combat systems I've heard of that I haven't checked out, like Burning Wheel, things like that, Riddle of Steel. But True 20 is kind of interesting how they handle it, but... I think if you're doing a fantasy game, combat-wise, you need to take into account it's a fantasy game, you know? I mean, in any game, I'd say I don't like realistic combat in a game because, one, it bogs it down, and...
Two, it's lethal.
It's lethal, yeah. You get, you know, what is it, a sword, the first 2 inches or 3 inches is what kills you.
Yeah.
I mean, they used to just sharpen that part, and that was it. Otherwise, it was a giant club. But if in a fantasy setting, you know, hey, you get stabbed, well, what's the fun in A? You got stabbed with a knife, you're dead. Oh, they stab you in your liver, you're bleeding out, you're dead.
It takes away the quickness of the game, the boom, boom, boom.
Right. Well, it's because you're reading your... I mean, a lot of people are going to akin it to reading Lord of the Rings, reading Dragonlance novels, whatever.
It's a lot...
But it's not the same, though, either. Because if you look at it in, like, Wheel of Time, they split that group up.
They do.
Otherwise, it gets boring.
The thing is, a lot of the other combat systems I've at least glanced at, I mean, they really do bog it down, like you said. I mean, I tried damage reduction for armor, and that actually does bog it down.
Yeah, it really gets to that point where it's just... I think if you're going to go with a combat system, try to go for the simpler combat system.
Yeah,
rather than trying to just go nuts with it.
I mean, there's
because I was going that way, and then I just sort of sat back and was like, you know what, I'm just making this more complicated. Let's just go back.
I like what you did originally with your D&D game where we did it was like half your base attack modifier was added in your armor class.
As your parry bonus,
deflection
bonus. Another parry bonus, though, on top of that.
They've actually, that is more or less incorporated into True 20 already.
Really?
Something else.
Because you have your base attack bonus is your defense bonus as well as you go up the level.
I did see something about parry where you take a feat just called parry,
mm-hmm.
and it allows you each round, in addition to your attack, to have a parry on the same as your attack. And you can do one each round.
That adds more complexity to it because you're keeping track of another number.
It does. But it was just something interesting I saw that was pretty straightforward.
The way they did that parry is you basically, when they attacked, you rolled against their attack and you had to beat their score to parry.
It's something else to remember is the problem.
Another thing that you have to roll for as well, which, again, slows down combat.
But we're getting sort of off subject, I think, a little bit. But combat in a fantasy setting
has to take magic into it.
I mean, we're going to be going back to the magic thing, I think, endlessly. But magic into account. You also have to take into account the races, I think.
Mm-hmm.
In a fantasy game, typically you're going to have humans, dwarves, elves, orcs, goblins, gnolls, whatever, you know. What kind of a social system
do each one of these creatures have?
Do they have?
Yeah, are they going to interact with each other?
There's no reason why orcs would act the same as humans do. Just look, it depends on how much research you want to do, but look at tribes in Africa or the clans in Scotland or the clans in China, things like that.
Or even just Europe. I mean, look at all the different groups.
Because you have different cultures are going to react differently to different things. And that's something I think you should definitely take into effect. Because in my world now, my orcs are pretty much used car salesmen. But
brings up things such as morality. Because is an orc that's born into an evil society,
is he evil?
Is he actually evil? Has he always been? Is his soul evil?
Right.
Is killing an orc baby good or evil?
Right.
These are things that, while younger players shouldn't have to deal with, I think older players
should. It's definitely something older players can look at because
I really do think that's
you could draw parallels between human and orc fights with the old West and Indians. Mm-hmm.
Just because
were we justified doing that? No.
Just because
but we did it.
Fighting
in the time period. We go back in time and ask them, they would say yes, most definitely. But now you look back and go, no.
And in a fantasy setting with so many different races, you do have to take that into account. If you've killed all of the Gnollish warriors who attacked you,
mm-hmm.
and they were stupid enough to lead you back to their home, and it's just the, I'm going to say women folk, but it might be the men folk, it doesn't matter. Whoever is the caretaker.
Right.
And the babies. Okay. You have a choice.
Right.
Do you let them go or do you kill them?
You have that problem with morally looking at it from our point of view in our day and age, where it's like, I don't want to kill babies, but...
They're going to grow up and they're going to eat our babies.
Exactly.
That's the problem. And also, as a GM,
that's because
you have
monsters.
To take that into... Right. Are they evil? They are evil when they are... Some of them are evil when they're older.
Mm-hmm.
They're evil now. And that gets into the different classes. Paladins. Mm-hmm. Alignment aside.
Oh, yeah.
The paladin, don't get me started on the paladin individual is good. Has a certain code of conduct. Now, if he kills that kid, depending on the deity, he should be punished.
Oh, yeah.
Because, yes, he's stopping an evil from coming into the world later on.
But
not an evil yet.
Good and Evil, I mean, that's definitely...
That could be a whole podcast in itself.
Good and Evil is a whole podcast, yeah. But Good and Evil
world,
in a fantasy setting is a big part of fantasy.
Is there a gray
Because you always... You have... Well, you're like Lord of the Rings. You have the good versus the evil. It's a lot
more... There's no baby orcs.
Yeah, not like Nathan said, it's black and white.
Yeah. There are no baby orcs.
Yeah.
There is no gray. There is... They will eat you, and then maybe do bad things to your body.
The Wheel of Time books, the Trollocs... You read those, they're evil.
They
need to die.
Yeah.
There's no...
But
you don't even think about it. It's like, kill it.
The humans that are interacting, that's...
Yeah, the Dark Friends. Right. Yeah.
Same with some of Lord of the Rings. Not as much, because they don't talk about that a lot.
The humans?
But if you looked at it, there is some of that... Some of the humans don't get along. Same with the elves, you know. But not with the orcs. Monsters are monsters. In those books.
This is Ethan from the future again. This episode ran a little long, more on the long side rather than the short side, so you might be asking yourself, what, they're cutting it short now? Well, you know, all three of you that listen to us, it was either we'll put out one long episode or we're going to do two short episodes. So we're doing the two short episodes. Part two of this will air next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. So now a word from another podcast.
Strength is irrelevant. Resistance is futile. We wish to improve ourselves. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service ours.
Welcome to World of Wizardry. This week, we have a special treat for you guys. An exclusive insight into the life of the reclusive wizard Weirdbeard. We're broadcasting live from the Sacred Pool in the Enchanted Forest, where Weirdbeard will shortly be casting a highly intricate and challenging divination spell. Watch closely now as Weird lights the candles, kneels by the pool in reverence, and speaks the final summoning incantation.
Bloody hell. Nipping matches in the ruddy water. Bugger it. Oh, blessed sands of time. Oh, wondrous spirits of the future. Tell me how I can make my homebrew more alcoholic.
I must have wrapped the fermenting bin in a blanket and keep it warmer to ensure the sugar turns to alcohol.
Cool. And tell me, oh wise ones, how I can improve my skills as a DM so that my players do not pull my beard and complain about my games behind my back.
Thy musteth be less slothful, and must plan your games more thoroughly in advance.
Groovy. Last one, I promise. I've got a 20 gold coin Amazon token left over from my birthday. Are there any decent movies out there to buy at the moment?
Enough, petty conjurer. Thy must cease and desist from troubling ancient spirits of power with petty questions. Visit www.doesmygeek.com. where thou will find a great podcast called Does My Geek Look Big In This? There you will find the answers you seek. Now be gone.
Well, there you have it, folks. Words of wisdom from the great spirits themselves. Next week, who lives in a tower like this? Goodbye from me, and see you next time.
Bring in the logic probe!
Well, we're back from our... short little adventure there, whatever you guys were listening to. I don't know, because I haven't edited it together yet. Anyway, we're here back for our three-parter. And today on the three-parter, Nathan's going to give us a nice NPC, and we've got character segment. I'm going to rant on full-price PDFs. And Jeremy's going to give us his review of the World of Warcraft. Or, as I like to refer to it, the World of Warcrack.
We've got character.
Today we're going to talk about a villain of mine that was so wonderfully handed to me by one of my players. He was waving at me right now from across the table.
Mansquito?
Who let Mansquito out? Get him! And back in his cage. But the name of our villain in question today, who is an NPC, is Brulus Calderon. You might recognize that name because one of the players in my group has a character named Jess Calderon. That's right. His brother. Not only his brother, but his twin brother. And not only is it twin, it's identical twin brother. And you can guess where the hilarity ensues with that as well. Especially when you go into a town after his brother's left, having slaughtered hundreds of people in the town. And someone who looks just like the person who just left the town comes into town wearing different armor and different clothes with a group of other people. What is going to be the general reaction for that? Well, anyways, when Jess and Brulis were young, the two got along very well. But at an early age, it was shown very quickly that Brulis was very quite adept at using magic, whereas his brother wasn't. His brother was a very devout and religious person, and was soon ushered off to religious school. Brulis, on the other hand...
I went to vacation Bible camp.
Yeah, right. They attached you to become a paladin. But,
the vacation back to Brulis. Bible paladin.
Brulis was sequestered away into a mage training school, where he was treated brutally by the other students due to the fact that he was the only elf in the school. He was picked on, probably beaten.
Just because I was 100 years older than them, they felt like they could beat me up. What?
Yeah. But Brulis stuck to it, earned all his skills, earned his rights to the mage's robes, and then proceeded to go out into the world to gain his power. Unfortunately, by this point in time, from all the torment and torture that he had received, he had become a twisted and cruel person. Several years later, going back to the school he came from, and burning it to the ground with every student still inside. And he didn't do it with, you know, your normal standard little fairy fire spell. No, he had devised a spell that caused them to burn for a year straight without dying and feeling eternal pain the entire time. Like I said, Brulis is a little twisted. Brulis then proceeded to head back to his place of birth, which was in the northern forest, where he proceeded to try to exert his will over the entire rest of the elven nation in there, in the process killing his mother and getting his father and his brother ostracized from the entire elven community. At this point, Brulis is on his way to trying to become a lich, because he wants to live forever. That way he can rule the entire world. And if the party doesn't do something about him quickly, he may actually get his wish.
The rant.
So, we are now going to go on to the next part, which I'm going to say is the rant.
Yes, I'm going to rant on PDF games, or PDF supplements that are full price. With the new merging of RPG Now and drive-through RPG into one bookshelf, that's absolutely fantastic. Overall, I think PDF books are a great idea, a great thing to have for very things. I don't think it'll ever replace the actual holding of a supplement book in your hand and reading it, or holding a role-playing game and reading it. It's that pulp feel. It's great. However, there are some companies out there, which shall not remain nameless, like Wizards of the Coast, that do sell their things, do sell some of their books as PDFs. Unfortunately, they decide to sell their books as PDFs at the exact same price as the actual print version of the book. This boggles my mind because, if I pay $35 or $45 for a book, I better have something to hold and read. And I understand that it costs you money to print on that paper, for the ink and for the artists and for the hardcover or for the softcover, depending on the company. When I get the PDF, it's an electronic piece of data. That sucker did not cost you as much as it did to print out a nice, 135 or 230 page rule book. So, full price PDFs, why? That makes no sense. If you're going to actually use the medium, use it. Do it like smart companies do and put the game out for, half cover price, or even $10 below cover price.
Like FanPro.
It makes sense that way. Because then, You could even say, hey, I bought the PDF because it's useful, and you know what? I'm going to go ahead and go buy the print copy of the book because, you know, that's just helpful. So therefore, companies like Wizards of the Coast that decide to sell their books at full price, I think have their heads stuffed up somewhere very nasty and should not do that because it's kind of ridiculous.
Tell them to reach up there and light a match and breathe.
Because if you pay $40 for your book and all you're getting is a PDF, what's the point? It's the same thing as going, I could buy the book for $40 off at Walmart. Or I could pay $40 and buy the book at my local gaming store. Where are you going to go? Your local gaming store. You'd better go to your local gaming store or I'll track you down. Anyway, PDF books, great idea, great thing, but don't charge full price. It's ridiculous. It's, what's the French word? Oh, redunculous. Yes.
Yes. It also shows how overinflated your sense of self-worth is if you think you can charge $40 for a PDF which has no actual physical media.
And it's just mean and evil. And we're going to send Mansquito after you if you're not careful.
The Review.
I'm going to do a review of this of a game that's been out quite a long time, but I just started playing it about a week ago, 2 weeks ago.
Should look at him. He's starting to get the shakes. His pupils are dilated.
And I introduced my fiance to it. She's been playing it.
You got your friends who stopped playing
it. Some other friends who stopped playing it.
It's just like Crystal Meth.
I've got another friend thinking about it. World of Warcraft, the online game. I had played it actually a year or so ago. I had a 14-day trial, and
went cold
I stopped.
Turkey. It was crazy.
And
we
then
had to take him to a clinic.
I unfortunately, or fortunately, was going through YouTube. Everybody knows YouTube. Great little site. And I just for kicks, I typed in World of Warcraft videos, and tons of them came up. Some of them were really, really funny. And I got this nervous twitch, and I just couldn't figure out how I could fulfill it. So I was down at a particular store, I'm not going to name the store, and they had it on sale. It was $20. I'm like, hey, I could try that. So I popped on, and I put the game in, and after 2 hours of downloading, which is kind of ridiculous, but that's okay, I guess it needed... It was must have been an old copy because it needed quite a bit of updating.
1.12.1 and 1.12.2. 1.12.1 is like a 1.5 gig patch.
So after waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and making myself like a burrito and eating that and waiting some more, it finally came on, and then I waited some more, go through all the extra stuff, and then I finally got on the game, and different races and classes, and I started playing a warlock. And it was sweet. It's very, very cool. I was kind of worried about it at first. I didn't know what to think.
Alcoholics refer to that as a moment of clarity.
And anyway, I got everybody else into it, and we started playing as a group, and that's even a lot more fun. Being able to go in World of Warcraft with people you know, we turn on our Skype in the background so we can talk, communicate back and forth, run around, level up, you know, sell stuff. I love the graphics. I've been told they're not as good as other games, but I kind of like the cartoonish atmosphere. I like the background. I like how there's the different classes. You can totally ignore other people if you want, or you can talk to them. The money system is straightforward and easy. The item creation system is actually straightforward and easy. And as long as you're not stupid about it, and you actually don't treat the game as a drug or an addiction, it's a lot of fun.
You ever seen Requiem for a Dream?
Don't become that guy.
Okay.
Or that woman.
Yeah.
Or any of those people in that movie. Okay. Make sure you follow the tips in the game that says there can be too much of a good thing, including World of Warcraft. So please, go enjoy the game. There's a new expansion coming out.
The Burning Crusade.
Burning Crusade.
Go to school. Get a degree. Get a girlfriend. Get a job.
Then play World of Warcraft with your fiancé like we do.
Yeah,
but don't let it, like, rule your life.
No, don't let it rule your life.
And there's a magical thing called bathing in sleep.
Yeah, you have to do that.
You have to do that. If you don't, we will find
you. If
you
are a gamer,
they should put that in the end user license agreement for the game. You must bathe, and you must eat, and you must go to work.
We digress off of the actual review.
No, we don't. This is all viable to World of Warcraft.
Sure. Don't let it ruin your life. But the game is a lot of fun. I just like how you can do so many different things. The characters, while at first they start out, you know, one warrior is the same as the next warrior, but then you get into talent trees, and you can go ahead and modify that. That's
nice
great.
Specialization.
Specializing. The spells are a lot of fun. My warlock can summon various demons and such. And I love actually just being able to run around on the actual world and discover new places.
Very vibrant
and
world.
If you know what you're doing, you can find your way into any area, even the most dangerous areas, the high-level areas. And you do meet some neat people. You can always remember, you have the ignore command. You can ignore all the stupid idiots out there who want to take advantage of you or just be jerks. You can create a friend list. It's just a lot of fun. So, go give it a try. Like I said, I saw it in the store for $20.
That's how much it is now for good.
I recommend actually buying the, instead of buying it monthly, I recommend if you're going to play it for a while, buy one of the bigger, the longer length one, because they're cheaper actually. We ended up buying a 6-month one. So.
And for him, that'll be great. For those of you out there who don't have a credit card, they also have the ability to purchase what's called a 60-day game card, which is available at any store that you can actually purchase the game at as well. They're $29.95, so you essentially pay the same price that you would pay for buying the game on a month-to-month basis for 2 months. Mm-hmm. The only difference is you actually have to pay taxes on the 60-day game card because you bought it at a local, at an actual physical location. That being said, I've been playing, I beta tested it and didn't care for it, because nobody else I knew was playing it. I played it with a friend of mine for a while, and it was only one friend, and I didn't care for it because it's only one person. And then when I was at school, several of my friends got me back into it to play it again, and I started playing it with them, and there was about 20 of us, and we had our own guild. That was fun. The thing that I found about World of Warcraft is you have to have other people you know playing, or make friends with other people in the game. Otherwise, you will not have fun. It is a social interaction experience. Now, granted, it's a video game, and there's lots of hacking and slashing in it. But if you don't have someone to talk to or someone to hang out with while you're doing it, you're not going to have any fun.
And please, 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 if you're already playing World of Warcraft or thinking about it, don't use any hacks, don't use any mods, don't use any bots. Just play the game as is, because when you use any of those cheats, you're messing up the game for the rest of us, and the game has so many adventures, so many things you can do.
And also remember, the wardens do watch for that sort of thing, and they will kill your account. You
Which
will be out
you
the
deserve
money.
If you cheat.
And one more thing, don't be like us, like my fiance and I, when you first get back into it, and a friend comes over to hang out. Don't ignore them and play the video game. Don't be a jackass like we were.
Bad.
Yes.
Bad, bad, bad.
We have since rectified that issue. When people come over, we don't play, which is why suddenly we go, I gotta go.
Try World of Warcraft. Give it a try. There are other online games. We'll talk about those later.
Yes.
We'll put the link to World of Warcraft in the notes, and I'll also give you the link to the Betty Ford Clinic, just in case. We'll be back.
Brace yourself while corporate America tries to sell us its wretched things.
Are returning to life and feeding on the living. Do not try to leave your friends.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead walk the earth.
In a world where the dead are returning to life, the word trouble is as much as its meaning.
Don't fall. It gets up and kills. The people it kills get up and kill.
Zombcast, a podcast for all things zombie.
They can smell us.
Oh, right.
They want to feel us.
So we're just like spamming a fucking cave. Good job.
News, events, movies, books, comics, board games, role-playing games, survival tips, and much, much more. Let Dustin of the Dead help prepare you for the zombie apocalypse. For more information, go to zomcast.podbean.com. Zomcast, your one-stop shopping mall of zombie goodness. Stay tuned.
Bro, help me here, son.
If you feel scared, just think of a happy place.
Zombies, man. They creep me out.
Well, I don't know about you, but I am planning to scream and run.
This is Ethan again from the future. We don't have a lot on random encounters again today. You know, we did discover on our forums that we have, three people who listen to us that aren't related to us, so that's a bonus. Thanks go out to everyone out there who drops us a line. Would like to encourage people to, that if you listen to us, please drop by the forums. I'm interested in finding out who all listens to us. You can make it to our forums off of a link on our website, or just go to fistfulofcomics.com and click on their forums link. We're at the very bottom of the forum list. Saving the best for last. We do have an audio bit here I'm going to play from Jeff over at the Tome. And I'm sorry, Jeff, I still haven't had a chance to listen to your podcast, still catching up on the backlog. But judging by this promo you sent us, it sounds like a really good show. So I'm going to play that real quick, and then I'm going to come back with just a few things I've been neglecting to mention here and there, and we'll be back.
Are currently listening to Gamer's Haven. I wanted to send this in as a little addition to Gamer's Haven this time around, since I know they're doing their fantasy episode. I wanted to give a little plug for my own show at the same time. That's http://thetome.podbean.com. But I mostly wanted to talk about how, since this is the fantasy episode, I wanted to point out that Dungeons & Dragons is a great system for running fantasy. It's originally designed as a fantasy system, although it has been modified in various incarnations as modern and future-type worlds, and all kinds of other sorts of settings. But it was originally a fantasy setting, and in many minds, the original fantasy setting, although it has been drastically updated and honestly made much better in recent years with 3rd edition and version 3.5. If you're looking to run a fantasy setting, I can't suggest Dungeons & Dragons more highly. Check out D&D, and if you're not sure what to get because you don't know what sort of a game you want to have, or you have a specific idea for a game, there's a lot out there to choose from. You can pick one of the richly developed campaign worlds that it's put out by either Wizards of the Coast, the company that makes D&D, or one of the third-party companies that puts out any number of great fantasy worlds out there. Or you can come up with your own homebrew system and pick up various books from all over the place and add in what you want and leave out what you want and make the system what you want to make it. If you want to run fantasy, I can't think of a better system to do it in because of the versatility. No matter what kind of fantasy setting you want to run, I've found that D&D and the D20 system is, in fact, compatible to whatever you want to do. It's that versatile. It can do whatever you want with it. And, of course, if you're looking for what kind of books you might want to pick up, I happen to know of a little show where they happen to do reviews of D&D game books exclusively. You might have heard of it. That's The Tome. http://thetome.podbean.com. And Gamers Haven, keep it up. One of my favorite gaming podcasts to date. You guys are doing a great job, and best of luck to you. Thanks a lot. This has been Jeff from
Thanks again, Jeff, for those kind words, and your show sounds very cool. I'll definitely have to check it out when I get the time. I want to put out the word again. If you've been to our website, you've seen that nifty little banner at the top that says Thousand Monkeys Productions presents Gamers Haven, and maybe someday I'll tell you what the Thousand Monkeys Production presents mean. And I've also had a lot of people, not really a lot of people, but some people say, why are we CanadianCrusaders.com and not GamersHaven.com? There's a reason for that, but you'll have to ask to find out. But anyway, the banner up at the top of the webpage was actually a graphic designed by Crossfire, who's a guy who's, I believe, on the Fistful of Comics forum, but predominantly he's on the Dragon's Landing forum, and I keep forgetting to thank him for that. That was really nice of him to throw that thing together for us. He did it gratis. And it was very nice of him. It looks great. It's the basis for a lot of the stuff I throw together with my mediocre setup. But he's actually a graphic designer. You can talk to him on the Dragon's Landing forum. He's a great guy. It was very nice of him to do that. Other than that, really not much going on random encounters-wise. I hope you're enjoying the show. If you are, please let us know. If you're not, please let us know. It's the typical, you know, usual stuff that I throw out at you at the end of the show. But thanks for listening, and here's the usual bits. You can visit us on the web at CanadianCrusaders.FistfulOfComics.com. You can visit our website there, leave us an audio. You can call our voicemail line at 206-984-4122. Leave a message on the Frapper map. You can drop us an email at thousandmonkeysproductions@gmail.com. And you could also just visit the forums on Fistful of Comics. We have our own little section there.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
Gamers Haven is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Sharealike 2.5 license, and is hosted by the fine folks at www.fistfulofcomics.com, and is a Thousand Monkeys production. Now there's just one rule, and it's go eye for an eye. And if you slow on the door, and a growling dog. They're gonna give me candy.
Yeah, I'm gonna saw off his head with this dull knife. You hold him down.
Okay.
Zach, get the diesel fuel. I refuse. Refuse.
Crack. Come on.
No.
I will not
be assimilated.
First 10 days are free. After that, you gotta pay. Mm-hmm.
You're like a cheap kid. Awesome.
Yep.
Nope. Denied.
You can play Ashmar, the paladin.
Nope. I'm good.
You can play a mage and not have to really worry about it.
They're uber powerful when they get up there. You can pawn more people into sheep.
How about we start with the We've Got character saving?
Son of a bitch.
Yep, I'm a jerk. What can I say?
Did you let him out?
No.
I'm going to make sure he goes after you next time.
Paul likes me.
I mostly blame society.
Oh, that works.
Yes, go to Seattle. Kill, kill!
Get off me!
That's not Seattle, Paul. That's Nathan.
He's not very well played.
Oh, well.
I'm going to hurt him.
What? He's a good man's keto.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
I'm going to feed him to the future he wants.
I fully admit, I ran a crappy, crappy, crappy Deadlands game. And that was it. You know, kill Elminster if you want to. Kill Drist.
Diego?
That cat would kick your ass.
I actually need the time machine now.
And Jeremy?
So, you can finish that time machine.
Jeremy,
I
went into your bathroom and I found that flux capacitor again.
Sorry.
It's not used for the sump pump.
Bad Jeremy.
Well, we need a new sump pump then.
No flushing the toilet to send things back in time.